Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. This week in Spanish football, Real Madrid have sacked Vicente del Bosque and Ronaldinho's been out partying again. Yes, sorry to those of you who might have listened to the wrong podcast last week. Apparently, we were discussing whether Casemiro will turn Manchester United into a solid professional setup, a subject on which we might have changed our minds in the last 24 hours. It was partly my fault for lacking imagination when it comes to naming episodes, partly the fault of Spanish referees for continuing to be the real stars of the show, and partly because our producer went all the way to Saudi Arabia to watch a guy off Love Island fight a guy off the internet. Anyway, back to this week's Spanish football, in which Xavi and Ruben Baraja clashed as Barcelona beat Valencia. This is this week's podcast. It is the right one. Right, what else? Joaquin and Real Betis couldn't get the better of Carlo Ancelotti's Real Madrid as Karim Benzema had a goal disallowed. Definitely still this week's podcast. Pepe Reina and Real Albiol with a rock on which Villarreal's victory at Almeria was based. And who wasn't shocked to see Raul Garcia getting ratty as Athletic struggled to break down Rayo Vallecano? There are also loads of red cards and disallowed goals. You know what we should do is go back in time and warn ourselves not to moan too much about referees, because it'll only get worse when they bring in VAR. What La Liga doesn't have these days, of course, is Lionel Messi. And as David Alaba will tell you, he's miles better than anyone in the league these days, particularly Benzema. Remember, football is all about players from your club winning individual awards. I'll tell you what did happen this week. Atleti scored 6. They picked an attacking team, ripped into Sevilla, and Savic didn't even get sent off. It turned out that Diego Simeone was waiting 613 games before taking the reins off. Very soon I will check in with Terry Gibson on his assurance to Sevilla supporters that they don't have to worry about relegation. Just, you know, the league table. Now, you know who did listen to the right podcast last week, everybody? It was the Patreons. Yes, that's who. They got theirs early, the right one, and a bonus Copa del Rey semi-final edition last week as well. Right, Terry, where do we start? Because we've got, obviously, the top of the league is quite significant, but I mean, the game of the weekend was obviously, the performance of the weekend was Atleti. Should we get to that in a bit?
Yeah.
So we go to the top, and Barcelona, I mean, doing it again, you know, 1-0 to the Barcelona, as it turned out. This time with 10 men, Araujo sent off. So, you know, fairly significant amount of the game still to go. They win, and then Real Madrid can't do the same. Well, admittedly, in a, you know, a tough away game against Betis, but it's, you know, that league is stretching again.
It is, and it's going to it's advantage Barcelona clearly. 9-point gap is significant. And one that they shouldn't lose, I have to be honest now. I think if they avoid defeat in the Clásico, then I think both teams will drop points between now and the end of the season. But it was a significant result. And it's weird when you look at Barcelona now. I will give them a lot of credit, because not because they're playing well. I think clearly their best performance came in the Spanish Super Cup, which not a lot of people saw. That was the Barcelona of old. We haven't seen that too much this season. They've rode their luck in terms of clean sheets, particularly early in the season. But in this game, you have to give them credit for the attributes shown, because they are missing players. They're a team that's in construction, a squad that's in construction. And, you know, I've made the point before, not all their signings have been successes. So when you make a lot of signings in one period of time, some will work, some won't. Some will be a spectacular success, some will be okay. So when you're missing Lewandowski, Dembele, Pedri, Gavi, that's an important section of the team in terms of quality that's missing. So they have to dig deep at the moment. And it's not something we've had to describe Barcelona as and refer to as in the past. You know, we've normally talked about quality or lack of quality. But this time, this season, if they do go on to win the league, when you consider the circumstances, now it's not the club, the players' fault that the club have made a real pig's ear of how they run Barcelona Football Club. And, you know, new players coming in, players leaving. It takes time to adapt for everybody. And being written off as well. I think we all made Real Madrid favourites to win the title. But Barcelona have rolled their sleeves up and they've got on with it and they've worked really hard. And again, this description of this game against Valencia is quite familiar now. They didn't play well. They kept clean sheet. They were down to 10 men for half an hour. A Valencia team that probably should have taken advantage of that situation but didn't play particularly well themselves. Well, ways were in front of goal. And Barcelona, you know, it took a while. The crowd, The crowd played their part because, and it did make me laugh on two or three occasions because I'm hearing still that people say Barcelona supporters want to win, but they want to play good football. I trust me, all they want this year is to win the league because when they tried to play out their way out the back a few times in the second half when they were really under pressure, and they got pressed by Valencia and they got closed down. The next time someone put their foot through a ball and cleared it, the whole crowd clapped. And it was like, no, they don't care. You know, this a lot of clubs have it. They want to win and they want to play football. They'd rather not win trophies and play good football. No, all Barcelona supporters want this year. So they got behind their team when the times were hard with 20 minutes to go and they were hanging on for dear life. And when the ball was cleared, the whole camp now started clapping and cheering, and they just wanted to see that ball cleared. And that's what they did. They showed resilience under pressure. They weren't playing well as well, which I think they've got massive issues up front. Don't think any of the attacking players at the moment, without Lewandowski, without Dembele, Rafinha scored the goal, and he did okay in this game, but Ferran Torres was still not enough of a threat. Ansu Fati had some bright moments in the game. We've got those two players arguing over who should take the penalty. Then Ferran Torres makes a real mess of it, which would have wrapped the game up. Xavi said a second goal would have finished the match. He's right. But when you don't get that, and that's happened a lot of times this season for Barcelona, that's why they're relying on defence and Ter Stegen, because they're not wrapping games up. They're not taking chances. They're not creating as many chances. So therefore, if they do win the league this year, it's going to be down to a different Barcelona in terms of perhaps we need some more quality up front, particularly if Lewandowski's missing. And then you see Memphis scoring a couple of goals for Atletico. You think, why? You know, why? I guess the deal was different with Memphis to, say, Ferran Torres, that have spent a lot of money on and has got a longer contract. But for my money, I think Memphis would have been a better cover for Lewandowski than Ferran Torres. So that's the dilemma they have at the moment. Without big players, their squad isn't that deep that they can cover it and go out and play scintillating football and you know, walk away with 3-0 wins and be 2-3-0 up at half time and turn on the style. They're having to work really hard. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you're not probably as good as you hope to be, what better way to cover that deficiency is by showing a great attitude, and the players of Barcelona are doing that.
Yeah, and there was no magic solution in spending a load of money again, was there, on Ferran Torres? And it seems strange to criticise him, but Rafinha, given that he scored the winning goal in this game, but you know, they paid 50-odd million for each of those two, and they're probably, I don't know, I'm not sure it's 50-odd million worth of value, although it's hard to buy really good creative attacking players, isn't it? Or certainly, yeah, Barcelona's scouting network isn't good, is it? I don't think. They never, I mean, Raujo would be a case in point, but they rarely surprise you with a really good signing.
I think Kessié has grown into being a Barcelona player.
But we all knew him, didn't we? And he was a free transfer from Milan, you know.
And I think their problem has been the positions that they've signed players for. So in Ferran Torres, Rafinha, Dembele, you've got three players that will play on the right. So that simple, obvious error is that why did we sign three players that like to play on the right wing and we've only got one centre forward? And maybe Ansu Fati if he comes back. But Ansu Fati isn't the replacement for Lewandowski anyway. Ansu Fati is someone who could play up there alongside Lewandowski. So when Lewandowski is missing, they've got a problem. And it doesn't look like there's a solution. So I don't know how long Lewandowski is going to be up, but they're going to suffer without him. And, you know, I made the point in the previous podcast that he's got to deliver in big games, Lewandowski. We haven't seen that. But in general this season, you can't fault he's, you know, he has been the difference at Barcelona. Without him, they could only have gone so far this season regarding the league title. But with him, and, you know, they've got an outstanding chance now. But when he's not there, God, it's a huge miss. There's literally nothing up front.
Yeah.
So therefore, they're having to rely on resilience and determination and Xavi shuffling his back four around, Araujo playing right back 1 minute, centre back the next, swapping with Koundé. Sometimes it's Alonso, sometimes it's Christiansen. Balde and Jordi Alba swapping positions as well and chopping and changing. But somehow, there's between the seven or eight of them, they've and to Stegen in goal, they've managed to, you know, come up with this defensive season that compares to Atletico Madrid's at their best.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about how Atletico won the league, and there's an element of this is how Barcelona going to win, not playing or playing very similar to how Atletico won the league. You know.
Yep. Suffering all the way to the league title. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quickly on this game, should there have been a penalty? Kessié's challenge on Fran Perez, that Valencia think it should have been a penalty. Should it have been?
I've got a dilemma here because I don't think it's a foul. I think there's contact. I don't think it's a foul. I don't think it's enough for the player to go down. Would that have been given anywhere else on the pitch? I'm not entirely sure. But according to the laws that we see applied to in La Liga on a regular basis, yes, it should have been a penalty. You know, we'll see other games that would be given, and it normally is given. So I think in this instance, Valencia can feel hard done by. But in general terms, when I watch other games, other leagues, I see that, and it's not given as a foul. But in Spain, it is. So I think the referee played a part because he was so adamant. Mm-hmm. I believed him. Perfect view. I believed him when he kept waving his hands, doing gesturing to the Valencia players. Definitely not, pointing to the corner as if Kessié had touched it. Well, he got that wrong because Kessié didn't touch the ball. And I think VAR didn't want to embarrass the referee by seeing a referee that was so adamant that he'd got the decision right. I don't think they wanted to get involved and tell him, hang on, have another look. There might have been something
one, isn't it?
For you to look at.
Because as a VAR sceptic, I don't want them re-refereeing situations. If the referee's there, he's in a good position, isn't he? And he says no, then I take that. I'd rather that was the situation. But like you, the dilemma is there because he obviously hasn't quite seen it as clearly as he thought because he didn't
it wrong.
Yeah. He didn't see it clearly. He didn't, whatever, you know, lapse of concentration, whatever, something. He missed something, didn't he? So he sort of, there's but a case.
He gave a corner, it should be a goal
kick.
Yeah,
precisely, yeah. So
that tells
so
you.
So he's missed something there, hasn't he? He's missed, yeah. What, I don't know whether Kessié sort of touched the feet of the opponent and he thought at that moment he was playing the ball or something like that, and he's missed something, hasn't he? I mean, in general, I don't think you should make a great fuss about refereeing decisions. I don't think there's a conspiracy going on. I don't think.
I know, but this could be thrown at Barcelona.
Yeah,
because of recent stories, so it's going to be a kind of irony,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
the old boss is still paying the referee. So
yeah, but that's a weird. We haven't really discussed that, have we? You know, they were paying. What was his job? He was like the referees association.
Yeah, I don't think he was that important. I think that the bottom line is they were paying the wrong person.
Yeah,
for a long time, who didn't have much influence on choosing the referees or how referees officiated the game. But there is, it's
weird. Though,
it's going to be a stain on Barcelona and La Liga until, if ever, it's cleared up. And it appears it's been going on a long time.
Yeah, it won't be, though. There's no excuse to be paying anyone to do with any refereeing things. You know, for scouting reports. Real Madrid haven't said a lot about it, which is interesting, isn't it? So therefore, you wonder whether they were doing similar things. This is not like Calciopoli, I don't think, is it? Unless I'm missing something. It's not like Moggi at Juve directly influencing the decisions and acting as some kind of godfather in the refereeing fraternity. But anyway, it shouldn't have happened, should it?
Yeah. No, of course it shouldn't. No.
Yeah.
It is part of the reason if you watch football, other football, there is always this drama with Spanish football.
Yeah.
And there's always this drama. It always involves Barcelona, Real Madrid, maybe Atletico over the years. It's always a storyline that is different to what we watch on a regular basis.
If we're wrong, let us know. Same as Italy.
Yeah.
If we're wrong, let us know. If you think it has influenced outcomes of games and whatever, then let us know.
We'll never know that, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong. I mean, it shouldn't be done. Mm. Of course, it shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
But how it's going to be resolved, I've no idea. But there's always drama in Spanish football. As always,
breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Story, and it always involves the big two, and it's this was wrong. But in this case, I think it merited a penalty, to be honest, to Valencia.
Right. Okay,
The sending off was straightforward.
Yeah.
In general terms, I'm not sure it was a foul, which is my criteria for being a penalty being given. But when you see the other decisions in all the games that we witness in La Liga, that normally is given as a foul and should therefore have been a penalty to Valencia.
Real Madrid drew 0-0 with Real Betis. Let's talk about more handballs and disallowed goals, Terry, shall we? This is what we're here for, isn't it?
This is a small print one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in the small print.
Yeah.
So why you disallow a goal.
So this goal is disallowed because David Ellery and IFAB try to create a legal watertight definition of handball when it should just be left to the referee on the pitch to decide what's handball. So by the time, once you've created this legal watertight, you're obviously going to get situations like this where it just brushed off Rudiger's hand. Even 2 or 3 years ago, this would have been allowed. 10 years ago, no one would have considered it, that it should have been disallowed.
Exactly. And did you see Rudiger's interview after the game? He had no qualms about saying, yep.
Yeah.
According to the laws of the game, it did touch my hand, it brushed my hand.
Yeah.
And because of that, you're not allowed to score a goal with your hand. So he knew it was going to be, he said, I knew it wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
So we've all become accustomed to that now. But it was the merest, it did. I think the deflection helped to beat the goalkeeper, if I'm being honest. But it wasn't an intentional handball. His arms are across his body, aren't they? It's difficult to put them if he puts them out and it
as a defender, it wouldn't have been given. But in that attempt at this legal watertight definition of handball, it was the last touch before it went in the goal. So that's it's got to be disallowed under the modern law.
Exactly, and it was a thrilling game. Fair play against Betis. I talk about Barcelona missing important players when Canales and Fekir are missing. It really does hurt their team. And I must admit, I hadn't been aware that Fekir is going to be out for a long period of time. Going to miss the rest of the season, clearly, which is a real blow to Betis. And when you've got him and Canales missing, they're going to have to work hard to stay with Real Madrid. And Real Madrid are okay. I don't want to criticise Real Madrid. I bang on about being a competitive league. Betis away from home always is a tough fixture. And Betis have got their own aspirations this season, and it could have gone either way, to be honest. I mean, you look at it, it was a very even game. I think Real Madrid probably just shaded it. But in general terms, I thought it was enough from Betis that they could have nicked a goal or two. Same with with Real Madrid. It's a tough fixture, one that there's always the possibility of, if you're a team that's going for the title, which is normally Barcelona and Real Madrid, there's the potential to not win a game. The Benito Villamarín. So I wouldn't want to criticise Real Madrid on the back of this performance. I think they were good. It was just, you know, one of those games that they couldn't. Perhaps their one complaint would be their efficiency in front of the goal. I think there were three or four more than half chances that they could have taken. And, you know, it was an attacking lineup from Ancelotti. He attacked the game, probably knowing full well that an open game would suit them because he would have more quality than Betis because of Canales and Fekir missing. And it probably should have paid off. I think that's the one thing you could be a little bit critical of was they didn't take the some of the chances that came their way. I'm talking about three or four, by Real Madrid standards, good chances. So therefore, they probably just shaded it in terms of clearer chances created. But Betis had their moments as well. So it was a really good game. Love to have seen goals. It's that type of fixture. You need to see goals. But it was still a good watch.
Vinny involved in the wars again, and the sense that he's being knocked from pillar to post. Tapiwa is one of our Patreons. So after Thursday's conversation, after the Copa semi-final, he said, I don't think there was any controversy. It was the usual type of performance we see from La Liga refs, which they are good, but quick to give yellows and reds to make the game stop-start rather than discussing with players and stamping their authority via warnings. And yes, quite a few people liked, they liked your description of fourth officials need to stop grassing up managers to referees.
We've seen Xavi's in the stand this week. Always managers missing there through suspension. It's ridiculous that you can get booked five times in a season.
Six, is he on six, I think?
And off you sat in the stand again. And managers go over like, 30-year career and not get booked five times. And now we're getting managers suspended halfway through the season on a regular basis. So it is. But Vinicius is an interesting watch, because he's a brilliant player. He really is a brilliant player. But I would say that the complaints from Real Madrid on his behalf, they don't need to do it. And there is an element of, for every time he's fouled, every time he goes down too easy. So if he gets 10 free kicks given against him in a game, five will be genuine fouls, and five you're looking at and thinking, that's not a foul. And he's gone down. And I think referees are buying into that now, and they're looking at it and they're not convinced every time he's knocked over or tackled or dispossessed that it's a foul. So he needs to try and get rid of that theory that the world's against him, every referee is against him. And I don't think Real Madrid are helping him, to be honest. I think... in particular, Ancelotti. I think Ancelotti's almost claiming every time he's touched and goes down, it's a foul. And, you know, it might be wiser to say to him, could you stay on your feet? Go down when you're genuinely knocked over, when you're genuinely fouled, and don't make a fuss over it. And it will probably get more decisions go his way. But there's this look of indignation. And two or three times again last night, it's a full-blooded game. It's a contact sport. And opposing players are not going to sit there and stand there and admire Vinicius. He is one of the biggest threats for Real Madrid. So it's a defender's job. It's a midfielder's job to be aggressive, to be competitive, to get close. And Vinicius has to respond to that, embrace it. That, you know, people see him as a really, you know, important component of Real Madrid. And they're going to do their best. They're not going to step back and allow him to do what he wants when he wants. So it's something he's going to have to get used to. And other players have had to do it. He's still very, very young, guided in the right way. Every time he does get fouled, I promise you, if he does tidy his game up, he will get the free kicks and players will get yellow cards. But when you're mixing it up and you're thinking that's a foul, and then the next one you're thinking, well, I'm not sure that's a foul. He's gone down too easy. He hasn't got the decision. The referees are not trusting it. And then he lambasts the referee and Ancelotti comes off the bench. And it all adds up to what we're seeing now, which is an experience of seeing Vinicius sort of going through the motions of sorting his game out. A small part of his game, because other than that, the rest of it is absolutely brilliant. But he's a maturing player, and I'm sure sooner or later the penny will drop.
Right, shall we move on to the game of the weekend, or the performance of the weekend, I think it's fair to say, isn't it? Atletico 6, Sevilla 1. Shall we start with a positive? Do you want to tell us about Atletico's approach to the game? quality goals, particularly Griezmann, and it's amazing, isn't it? He broke the record, Simeone, didn't he? 613 games as the Atletico manager, which surpassed Luis Aragonés' his old record. And this is the performance that the whole Atleti dilemma in recent years is what's their identity? What are they? Are they trying to be this team, or are they trying to be the old, Godin, yep, etc. team? And this was magnificent, this team.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, and it's pleasing to see Memphis play so well and make a massive contribution. They work hard, they move the ball quickly. And that's the source of frustration for me that may come out sometimes on the podcasts, maybe in commentary sometimes, is that this is a different Atletico Madrid to the one that Simeone took over 613 games ago, in terms of they've got quality now. That, you know, in the past, they were hardworking, they were mid-table, they were chopping and changing managers. They had this big, illustrious history of being a famous Spanish La Liga club. But Simeone's made so much difference to that club. And when you look at them now, I think you have to respect them enough to think that when they don't get the results and they're not scoring goals, you have to look at their squad and you have to say they're underachieving. You know, they've got real quality now. This isn't a underdogs, you know, the third biggest club in Spain playing, you know, second fiddle to Barcelona and Real Madrid. And when they won it in 2014, it was exactly that. When Simeone won his first Copa del Rey, it was exactly that. They, you know, that team didn't cost an awful lot to assemble. There was players there that, you know, Wanfren, for instance, you know, right winger at Osasuna, suddenly become one of the best right backs in Europe, thanks to Simeone. And there was a whole number of players like that. Koke was a young player that came through. There was no superstars. I mean, Falcao was there when he took over, but other than Falcao, there was no superstars in that team. But over the years, they've assembled a collection of superstars. And that's where the frustration has come in, because, you know, this season is a good example. They failed in Europe and, you know, they haven't been in the title race. But when you see how they play at the weekend, there's that frustration that they should be 10 points closer to Barcelona and Real Madrid. They should be closer to those two teams. And this performance at the weekend, it was brilliant. They were brilliant to watch. That was the thing. It wasn't just a good performance by Atleti. They were brilliant to watch. And they were incisive. They were helped by hapless Sevilla, who played a 5-4-1 system, packed the defence and midfield, and still conceded 6 goals. Griezmann is the best player in La Liga at the moment since the World Cup. When you compare the pre-World Cup, where he wasn't allowed to play, he's having very little influence on the games, whether that's helping him
that's
now.
That's the future.
He's not jaded and he's not as tired as some of the others, or, you know, it's just the fit, healthy Griezmann that's got confidence, that's got the responsibility of Simeone. He's not chopping and changing too much. He does where Griezmann plays. In this game, he was all over the place again. But there have been situations, particularly this season, because of the contract situation where he wasn't playing, wasn't starting. There was no confidence. There was no continuity. He never got any momentum. But now you can see he's the most important player for Atletico Madrid. He can play where he wants. And he was brilliant again. I mean, he was involved. His goal was great. The assists he made were great. All aspects of his game was great. He's described as the best player as a talented player like Griezmann. Has there been anyone else that's worked so hard as Griezmann? And that's probably a really good point to make, to be honest. That all the superstars, they're superstars because of, you know, their quality and their skill and the goals and stuff like that. But we've never looked at them and thought, well, and he works hard. You know, we just talk about their quality. But with Griezmann, he really does work hard as well. So he's flying. Atletico are flying. Looking at their performances. It's one loss since the World Cup. That was Barcelona at home. They've had six wins, one defeat, 3 draws. They've caught up Real Sociedad. There was a period, wasn't there, not long ago, that, you know, lost to Mallorca just before the World Cup. You're thinking, I'm not even sure Atleti going to get top 4 this year. They're in good position now. If they can continue their form, then third position is not going to be a problem to them. So they were fantastic. So Carrasco was brilliant. Griezmann was brilliant. Memphis was brilliant. Morata, when he came on, was brilliant and contributed to a couple of goals. So, everything was fine for Atletico.
Okay, Sevilla then. So it's not long ago that you told me, "Oh, don't worry, they'll be mid-table soon enough." Now I look at the league table, Terry. I'll share it for the Patreons. I'm sure everybody knows, but they're outside of the drop zone, but only on goal difference at the moment. It could be one of those seasons where we end up with head to heads come the end of the campaign.
Many tables,
and all of that. So they're on 25 points, the same as Almeria, who are in the drop zone, same as Getafe, who are above them, and it's just not getting any better.
No, I thought they'd turn the corner. They won four games at home, and they were brilliant against PSV in the Europa League, and that was at home. So home form had been good, but it's just when you think they're climbing and they're on the ascendancy, and there's not going to be any relegation issues, they go and put in some dreadful performances, and this one was hapless. You know, as I joked about packing the defence in the midfield, that's exactly what they did. And there was gaps all over the place. And, you know, they did get back into the game with the goal from Nziri. But the amount of times they whenever they gave the ball away cheaply in midfield, let's go just race through the defence with very little resistance being put up. And you're thinking after they give one goal by giving the ball away cheaply with a square pass in their own half, learn by your mistakes, and they did it again, and they did it again, and they did it again. And let's go just set traps and just close them down quickly. And then when you look at the goals, you'd never believe you're looking at a team that was playing 5-4-1 because there was nobody about. You know, they were just giving the ball away, getting closed down, being dispossessed, and then all of a sudden you're looking and thinking, well, where is everyone? So the game plan was wrong. The confidence is rock bottom from Sevilla. I'm not as confident now that they're going to survive, I have to be honest, but I just look at the quality they've got and just think they're probably just going to have enough to win the home games, and they've got to be harder to beat away from home. They've got to beat the teams around them at home. That's the why I think they will stay up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to happen next at that football club at the moment. I must be honest. I mean, I hear people saying Sevilla won't be one of those teams.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I have three managers in the season, but I'm not convinced. As I'm saying that, as the words coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, should I be checking to see if Sampaoli's still got his job? I've half been looking at that this weekend. And there's talk of Bordalas being lined up as a replacement. Yeah. He's probably the type they need to get them out of this slump they're in with a bit of defensive organisation, to go back to fundamentals, let the players take care with their natural ability rather than trying to enforce a style of play that needs confidence. And Sevilla's confidence has been at best fragile this season all the way through. When they hit form, when they hit a purple patch and they're in good form, and they get off to a good start in the game and they score a goal, they're still good. But when things go against them, they just fold pretty easy at the moment. There doesn't seem to be any basic defensive fundamentals in the team that give them a chance of winning games such as this one at the weekend. And it was a dreadful performance. One that I did, and I've been keeping the check all weekend, I did expect to see Sampaoli leave the club. So I'm not convinced he'll be there. Maybe the Europa League game midweek.
Yeah, actually, haven't they, on Thursday night? So, how right? So, yeah, it's fair to say he hasn't got many more defeats in him, or many more shambolic performances and defeats.
Yep, and as I say, they've got Almeria next week at home in La Liga. So you're now at the point where I'm talking about them bigging them up last 16 in the Europa League, capable of being Fenerbahce. We know they're a fair with the Europa League, but will they be thinking is the game of the weekend the bigger one now? the more realistic one. So it'd be interesting to see team selection. Almeria at home, a team that's a direct rival. If they don't win that, then and that's not given, then they're in big trouble. It's a huge story, to be honest. Yeah. Sevilla, if they do go into another manager, the season that they're having, the stars that they've got, the quality that they've got, and to see things not working, it's fascinating. I don't want to be a Sevilla supporter at the moment, but it is fascinating to watch, to see a team that a year ago were challenging for the title to suddenly now, at this stage, 24 weeks into a season. This can happen after 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks, but not 24 weeks. You're in trouble if you're on the verge of the bottom three after 24 rounds of games. So it's my 52-point prediction for Sevilla. I think I might be wrong. It might have been ambitious.
Not helped by a penalty miss and a red card as well, just to add to the general air of chaos about the club at the moment as well, isn't it?
Exactly.
Where should we?
Too many sending off for Sevilla. That's a lack of discipline as well.
Yeah.
As I said, 10 this season.
Yeah, we discussed it last week, didn't we? And there were loads more red cards again this weekend. I think it's too easy to get a red card, isn't it? It's my view in La Liga.
I mean, the Rakitic penalty, by the way, I think literally it's the post. Literally, within seconds, it was almost like the Sevilla players were lining up on there, like, oh, we've scored. Oh, no, we haven't. The next thing you know, and let's go. I can't remember if they actually scored from a rebound from the penalty. Or was it? I remember laughing and saying, geez, everyone switched off. Thinking he'll score, hits the post, rebounds, and bang, and let's go. And that was it sort of typified the whole match, to be honest, that Sevilla had an attack, it broke down, and they didn't have the legs or the know-how, the capability to get goal side and actually defend with their lives. So they're in trouble, Sevilla.
Everything else, just about, well, there's Rayo nil, Athletic nil, sunset red card. Other than that, is everything a relegation battle? I think it is, because the relegation battle is so big. So should we do it all in one go? So Valladolid 2, Espanyol 1, and then Mallorca 0, Elche 1, which is a great result for Elche. Almeria 0, Villarreal 2. Obviously, Villarreal still going for the top four, given that Real Sociedad have lost form, 0-0 with Cadiz. And then Getafe got a 3-2 win against Girona, having 3-0 up. Relatively early in the first half, isn't it? And Ezunal got a couple. So, where do you want to go? And are we any closer to knowing who's going down?
Well, we start with the Friday night game. Real Sociedad, nil, Cadiz, nil. That's another good performance from Cadiz. You know, they've really... since that dreadful start, 5 games, no goals, 5 defeats, they've only lost to Rio, Real Madrid, Sevilla, Athletic Bilbao and Barcelona. Mm. They've won or drawn the rest. So for them to have 26 points on the back of missing the first five, it leads me to believe that they're not great to watch. They're better than they used to be to watch. But they've got those defensive fundamentals and one or two new players that came in the transfer window. And it wasn't a massive surprise seeing Real Sociedad's current form to see Cadiz keep a clean sheet in this game. And they didn't just sit back, park the bus, and you know, they had their moments as well. And the better on the counter-attack. So, but for Real Sociedad, they've won win in their last six. I think they're averaging a point a game during those 6 games and lacking goals. Mm. And it's a very similar story to last season, to be honest, where they tailed away. 3-4 weeks ago, I'm thinking they're nailed on for third.
Yeah.
They're playing well. They're in a good position. They were winning games. They were scoring goals. And suddenly they've hit the skids a little bit. So that's going to be tough for Real Sociedad to apply themselves and get back on track again. And now from going, you know, pretty sure that they'd finish in top four. Now that's not the situation. So that's going to be interesting to see how they resolve that. Almeria on Saturday, the 2-0 loss at home to Villarreal, who had Gerard Moreno back. Villarreal deserved to win this game. Almeria got a decent home record, beat last Barcelona the week before, but Villarreal were, with Gerard Moreno scoring, they were too good for them. Morales getting another goal. His transfer is working out now, isn't it? He's, you know, it's the manager's got faith in him. There's been injury issues. They let Dan Juma go. He's getting lots of playing time and delivers. That was another really good goal that he scored. Moreno's goal was good. And Elche, first away win of the season. And they're just going for it. It was an Elche team like we hadn't seen this season. It's almost as if they thought, literally, they have nothing to lose, do they? Mm. They've got to try and go out and win every game. And Mallorca have been fantastic recently at home. You know, the teams they've beat, the amount of games they've won. Elche went at them and probably deserved it, to be honest. You know, I think that it was a good goal from Lucas Boye. Good finish from a corner. Well worked corner. I'm not sure what happened with the marking.
Mm.
But he finished it off really well and sort of opened his body up with a half volley side foot finish into the top corner. They had other chances, but they were unlucky as well. Mallorca had a controversial goal disallowed in the last
96 minutes. Yeah.
So Elche had a bit of luck. And you can't begrudge them that. Mm. I mean, look what happened the week before with the debacle with the sendings off and the penalties against Real Betis. So they could be dangerous opponents, Elche. They probably know they're down. And they're probably thinking that our only chance is if, you know, in the remaining games, we win half of them. So how do you do that? Not by sitting back and being pragmatic and being hard to beat, hard to score against. Just go out and attack whoever it is playing us. You know, we've literally got nothing to lose. And I'm not suggesting for one moment they're going to stay up. But what if they suddenly won six or seven games? Then they're up. They stay up. It's that simple. They've got a chance. So that's how they're going to approach it. So they're dangerous opponents. And Valladolid are a weird team. They go on streaky wins, a run of winning games. But they deserve to win this game. It drags Espanyol back into it. Even Sanchez with a decent goal. Aguado after a cutback, good wing play. I think it was Gonzalo Plata. So they look better to watch as well now, Valladolid. So that was a massive win for them. As you said, we get so many games that are being played involving, you know, they're going to be direct opponents. And Getafe made a real, real hard work out of winning that game against Girona. You know, two early goals, 2 minutes and 14 minutes from Enes Unal. And you're thinking, then Bormeiro scores. I'm sitting there watching it thinking, but why are Getafe struggling? You've got those two up front. It's just a matter of finding a team that's solid, that can get service to the front two, because they've got a lot of quality with the two strikers. And you're thinking, well, this is it. This is what Getafe should be doing. 3-0 up at half time, and then Girona do like a goal. None of their games are nil-nils. Tate Castellano gets their first back after 54 minutes. Gutierrez gets one with 10 minutes to go, and Getafe kicks his Flores was a nail-biting finish. And Girona were lucky in the end not to get a point. So, entertaining game. But Getafe, that's, you know, it's a massive win for them. They obviously, I think they're underachieving because of those two strikers. Good quality around the rest of the team as well. But when you've got those two strikers, if they're fit, healthy and confident, they should be scoring. They should be scoring a dozen each this year at least.
Mm.
I think Enes Unal's probably going to get there. Mayoral maybe not. But it's a 25-goal-a-season partnership between those two, if ever. And that gives you a more than decent chance of staying up. Should do. So Getafe still, that win sends them in the right direction. But clearly not enough. I think that just leaves us Rayo against Athletic, doesn't it?
Yes. So 12th and 19th in the league, separated by 4 points. Which says a lot, doesn't it? A long way to go. Plenty of big games to come.
Relegation up to 10th, Mallorca. Still including Mallorca, 31 points. They're sixth clear.
Yeah.
Of relegation.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because then hang on. So only 2 points above that are Osasuna and Athletic. So, you know.
But I think they've got, it's that little, you're ticking towards 40, aren't you? So I expect Osasuna, Athletic. I think they're miles away from it in terms of
being decent teams.
Being decent teams. Mm. Mallorca, their agenda at the start of the season was to avoid relegation, and they're still looking down. Aguirre, I promise you, will be looking at the teams at the bottom, in the bottom three, and he'll be looking at the points difference. It's probably been over 10. Now it's down to 6. That can be turned around so easy in any league. Mm. So the Mallorca are 31 points. They're going to need another 2 or 3 wins.
Yeah,
And then they're not easy to get in any league. You know, if you hit a poor run of form, you lose confidence. You know, with 14 games to go, you suddenly
because you're looking 39.
Where can we win a game?
39, 40 points or something, aren't you, to stay up? Because they're on the team. Well, Almeria are on more than a point a game, aren't they? And they're So, yeah, they're on, you know, just slightly over. So they get 39 points on current form, I think, 38, 39 points. So, yeah. So Ryo nil, Athletic nil. You thought Sunset shouldn't have been sent off. Woodwork got rattled a couple of times. Nico Williams at the end, very close to winning it. Was it fair enough a draw?
I actually thought Athletic deserved the win, yeah. I have to be honest. They attacked the game. They took the game to Ryo first half. And in particular, I thought the game could have been done and dusted from Athletic's perspective. So I think they can feel hard done by. They didn't get the win. As you said, a couple of woodwork attempts. And sending off, it's a cynical foul. It's one I don't like. To be honest, I'm not totally against that being a red.
Right,
but
okay.
it's not a red in every...
In every
occurrence. Every time it happens, it's a yellow. So that should have been a yellow.
Right, yeah.
But I'm against the cynical acceptance that we've all got now of, oh, he's taking him on for the team. He's just put a stop to the attack. It was it's something that needs to be eradicated from the game. We've just accepted it now that, you know, players can pull a shirt. I mean, it's all well and good pulling a shirt. You're not going to hurt anyone. But when you slide in and make that challenge with no attempt to win the ball, I'm kind of not against that being a red. I am in this instance because of this season. That's normally a yellow, and that should have been a yellow. But I wouldn't mind seeing them teams. Players would have to stop doing it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're caught on the wrong side of a player and he's getting away from you, it's not acceptable just to bring them down and take a yellow card.
I'll put it another way. Is that if someone's got away from you, they're about to launch a counter-attack. So it's not an obvious goal-scoring situation. So if you grab his shirt and pull him back, it's a yellow card. If you kick him, it's a yellow card. And yet the kick itself could be a yellow card. So as a referee, you'd be howls of protest if you showed two yellow cards. If you said, one, it was cynical, and two, it was a bit violent. So, right, I'm sending you off for it. But that's essentially what he's done.
I mean, it's all well and good having your shirt pulled by an opponent when you're away. Yeah. That would really irritate me. I have to be honest, it didn't happen when I played. It wasn't when you had your shirt pulled and stuff like that. Of course you did. But there wasn't this acceptance of, it wasn't part of the game. It wasn't cricket to do.
It wasn't expected of. It's almost expected of a player now.
Exactly.
You could have fouled him. Yeah,
they get criticised for not doing it. And there is an element of, I think Pep and City were the first team to get criticised for it.
Mm.
That it was suddenly new to the Premier League that, even David Silva, he knows when to...
Fouling high up the pitch thing,
And we've accepted it. And I would like to see that eradicated from the game, if I'm being honest. And how they're going to do that, I don't know. So in normal circumstances, Sunset should have got a yellow compared to the other players that do it. But there is that element of you potentially injuring an opponent there when you slide in with no attempt to play the ball and just hacking down. I don't know if he can have too many complaints, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was late in the game, didn't affect the result, but it does mean that he misses the game next week against Barcelona. So it's a big loss to Athletic Club.
Europa League this week. Is this Champions League? I don't know. Who's interested in that?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Champions League, but not Real Madrid.
Yes. It's all those other countries with their Champions League.
This round drives me mad. Of the Champions
League. It goes on forever, doesn't it? Yeah.
And not only that, you miss games. They played this week. I didn't know that was on.
The weird thing about it is that they clash. I don't understand. You're spreading the round out over a month, and they still manage to put the games on at the same time. I find it utterly baffling. Anyway. So Real Sociedad are away at Roma, which is looking like a very tight game, I've got to say.
Jose's been up to his tricks, isn't he? Getting sent off left, right, centre, including an under 14 match where he was booing a kid taking a penalty. He was watching Roma under 14s playing against someone and started heckling and booing the opponents. The 14-year-old
I didn't see that. Right, okay,
I've been being sent off, I think, the night before. And Serie A in a defeat. So he'll be at his, it'd be interesting to see the Spanish public with Jose back for the second leg. Tough game for Real Sociedad, given their current form.
Yeah.
Sevilla against Fenerbahce would have the Sevilla Europa League Sevilla turn up.
Yeah.
Probably, yes. And then Betis away at Old Trafford. That's going to be the game to watch this weekend.
Yeah, what do you make of their chances?
I would have got a chance. Canales, I don't know what his injury situation is. Mm. Mick Fekir is clearly going to be missing. So it'd have to be a slightly different version of Betis. No, they've got a chance. I mean, this is not just based on... It's football, isn't it? Barcelona can't beat Man United, but then Betis might do.
Mm.
How Man United going to react after that 7-0?
Yeah.
I can't believe that scoreline. It baffles me.
It's weird, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Because Real Madrid beat...
games that happened in lockdown when no one was in the stadium or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And teams weren't getting that G up from the fans when they were 3-0 down and gave up and couldn't be bothered and it was an empty stadium. And it reminded me of one of those games. But Betis, yeah, Pellegrini's got the know-how. Trip back to Manchester for him. And you know, I've already heard this is a gimme for United. Up until yesterday, when the draw was made, people were saying, oh, that's all right. And you know, they're talking about it with confidence, which isn't surprising, the way Man United have been playing. But now, on the back of that drubbing, it might liven them up, it might focus them, it might not, it might, you know, demoralise them. So, Betis got a chance. If Man United are complacent and slip out, Betis can punish them.
Yeah, complacency is probably less of an issue for United now, isn't it, after Sunday? That's football for you, isn't it? Because Liverpool beat Real Madrid 5-2. Liverpool beat Manchester United 7-0. Manchester United beat Barcelona. Barcelona beat Real Madrid. And we're still trying to analyse it all. Yeah. Right. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Hopefully, you've listened to the right podcast on the... Well, we've recorded it on the 6th of March, if that helps. I should have said that at the beginning, shouldn't I? That would help. Right. And we'll see you for another one soon, everybody. Thank you for your support. If you want to join us at patreon.com/LTEL.